and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Our text for today is in the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, his second letter, chapter 5, the verses 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians, the verses, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Now, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your holy word, for your words of life that you have given us today to hear. We pray that you will open up our ears and our hearts that we may hear your voice, the voice of our good shepherd, and that we heed to it. Open our minds and our thoughts that we understand as disciples understand, not on our own accord, not by our own ideas, but how you are teaching us. Without you, we cannot understand one thing, but with you and through your Holy Spirit, we see the things as you see them. Bless us now in this hour, speak to us, bless this sermon, and let us feel your presence. Amen. Paul is talking about a tent and a building and about clothes. And even I, a studied theologian and doctor of theology, it is quite hard to understand these few verses. But I will break them down to you in 3 points. First of all, Paul asks us a question. Are you clothed or are you naked? Second thing is, he assures us we have an eternal building that is in heaven that remains when this earthly tent is being destroyed. And the third thing he is teaching us, God has made us for this very purpose that we may live in this earthly tent and be witness to this world that is going to perish. The first point, are you clothed or are you naked? Paul writes, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Now, imagine you coming here this morning and somebody enters the church without clothes. That would be a shameful sight. And probably you would say, no, no, in church you have to be properly clothed. Not with rust, but put on the best you have. Imagine a group of Boko Haram would enter now this building. And because I am the pastor, and even more because I am a white man, they would probably turn to me, start to beat me, and of course rip off my robe and what's below. and they will try to put shame on me. And even more, they will let me feel, if you don't have clothes, you don't have protection. Our clothes, they protect us. I'm coming from Germany. At this time of year, it is almost freezing. So you can't go out of the house without clothes. Otherwise, you would start to feel very, very cold. And if you stay out a little bit longer, you probably die by the cold. If I'm naked, I'm unprotected. If I have clothes, I have protection. But not all the clothes that the Apostle Paul talked about. Does he talk about such garments? Does he talk about clothes that we put on every morning and that we remove every evening? No, of course not. He is talking about spiritual clothes. That we should have put on Christ. As Christ himself says in the book of Revelation, I come to you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve put on your eyes, so that you can see. Christ Jesus himself offers us this kind of clothes we need in our life. This kind of clothes we need to prevail in this world. When you remember when this earth was created and God set Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, they ate from the fruit and they discovered we are naked. Not because the Garden of Eden was a cold place, not because they discovered we have no protection against the wild animals. No, they discovered we are naked in the eyes of the living God. He clearly can see our sins. He clearly can see our transgressions. And they tried to cover up, putting fig leaves before their nakedness. But of course, when God entered the garden, he surely knew they were naked. They were naked in their sin. And Jesus Christ, he died on his cross. Let his very blood cover our transgressions, our sins. And the Apostle Paul, at several occasions in his letter, said, clothe yourself with Christ. Dwell in Christ. Be in Christ. Live with Christ and in Christ, so that you have put on Christ, and that when God the Father looks upon you, he is no longer that sinner that you have been, but new creation in Christ, yet that he sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is the question that Paul asked us this morning. Are you here in this very church naked, so that God sees your transgression, your sin? Or have you put on Christ? Is he your white clothes, your white garment that covers all your shortcomings? When we celebrate later on the Holy Communion, it's the promise of God that the blood of Christ shall cover our sins. And when we start with the communion and say, your death of life, we proclaim that we believe the Christ of blood is indeed covering, is clothing all our shortcomings. And God, when he calls us to his table, he has given us this white garment and has made us holy. So this is the first thing. Are you still naked? Or have you accepted what Christ is offering you? Are you clothed in Christ? The second thing
that Paul talked about, he described that there is an eternal building made in heaven waiting for us. Because we now live in an earthly sense that is going to be destroyed. Yes, indeed, we know this sense very, very good. If nothing happens, we see that our skin gets wrinkled, that our hair turns gray or white, and that the age starts to put signs of it in our life. But even more, in this world, our life may be short. As we have heard in the first lesson of Ecclesiastes, our body slowly is decaying. Sickness may befall us. Sickness. Sometimes we recover from it, but some sicknesses, they really carve their image in our life. And some other sicknesses, they put us to death. Some slowly, some very quickly. Some quickly, like Ebola, it only takes 3 weeks and we are done. Some other sicknesses, like cancer, that is a struggle and agony, sometimes even for years. And we turn to the medical profession, to the doctors, to the nurses. And of course, what they know, what they can do, this is the blessing of God. But nevertheless, they can only mend our tent. They cannot give something that is not from this world. What they can do is only what human hands can do. Back in my country, we have big hospitals. A lot of money is put into the health sector. But nevertheless, so often the doctors approach the bed of a sick person and they say, no, sorry, we can't do any more for you. Go home to your family and die there. In other cases, they come and say, oh yes, we have a special treatment and we try it on you. And they stick a lot of needles in your body and you will have a time full of pain. And sometimes in the end the doctor says, sorry, it didn't work out. We have to try something else. Yes, we are thankful to God that we have doctors. But we do not forget that all they can do is just to mend our earthly hand, to mend this body that we have now. And now Jesus talks about an eternal house, an eternal building, something that is no longer going to be destroyed, but that remains in eternity. A tent, when it is in the rain, in the weather, it stays there half a year, maybe less. But this building hopefully stays for a long, long time because it's made solidly. And the building that awaits us in heaven, Paul tells us, this will remain for eternity. When Jesus was resurrected and appeared to his disciples and he showed them his new body, they saw, oh yes, it is a body with hands, with the wounds of the nails, but this body, it is different. This body, it can go straight through walls or through doors. This body must not eat any longer. And they could see it in him. This body is not going to be destroyed, is not going to decay in eternity. And Jesus Christ is promising us, believers in Christ, followers of Christ, Christians, he's promising to us, you are going to have such a body like me. You are going to have a building, an eternal building that is waiting for you in heaven. How can we know that? And Paul says, God has given us the spirit of deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When we come together here in congregation to celebrate the service, we feel it is different from a normal feast. We feel the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we enjoy the Holy Supper, the Holy Spirit talks in our hearts and assures us that this surely is to come. And I can tell you, even in the time when I was full of doubt, when I doubted, is there really a God? There was something in me, there was the voice of the Holy Spirit in me that always kind of put its hand on my shoulder and said, yes, God is real and He stands firm to His promise. Don't be afraid. I will deliver you. This is the second thing that we can learn from Paul this morning. Although we see that our body, this body that is going to die, also we face death, this is not the end. The resurrection of our Lord Christ Jesus and the Spirit that dwells in our life, this is the assurance that we ourselves will not remain as dead bodies somewhere in the earth, but that Jesus Christ will resurrect us and that He will Himself give us a new body, a body that is not destroyed in eternity. This leads us to the third point. We are living in this earthly sense for the purpose of God. We see here in Paul, very often we groan, we sigh, oh Lord, can't you take me to you right now in heaven? Can't you come back now? Deliver us from death, from sickness, from everything. But God the Father answers, no. You have a purpose here. You have to live in your decaying sense in this body because I want to use you here. I want to use you here in Malawi, in Cameroon, in every place you go, you sit, you breath, you talk. Don't be afraid when you face sickness. Don't be afraid when you face hardship because I am with you and I have a purpose for your life. You are living in this earthly sense because you are my witnesses. Imagine God would just take us all into heaven and then look on this earth with all the people that do not know Christ. Still in here, still having no hope, no future. Who is going to preach to them? Who is going to share the gospel of Christ with them if we would be away in heaven? And we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, right before he described that he suffered hardship, but that it was sure that the Holy Spirit is using him. He is talking to the Corinthians. They see if Paul would not have come to their place, they would not know Christ. 100 years ago, missionaries came from Europe to Cameroon, and they sometimes died like flies. But they were not afraid of death, because they knew it is worth to go at distant places just to share the gospel, just to be witness. And this helps us when we are at times groaning in silence because we feel sick, because life is hard and it's hard to make ends meet. And then we are reminded by the Spirit of God, it is the purpose. It is the purpose that you live here in this place. There is a purpose that you are sick. I remember an old lady in my parents' back home in Germany. She went to the hospital, but she was full of the joy of the Lord. Even if she had, I think it was cancer, a very painful disease at least. And in her room in the hospital, there was another lady. And that other lady all day complained and said, oh, it's hurting so much, the nerves are not nice, and this is wrong. And she really was complaining all the time. But the lady of my congregation, she was just laying in her bed, full of the joy of the Lord, even if she had pain. She did not complain. But in her life, that other lady could see, here's the peace and the joy, not from this world. The nurses and doctors could see in the lady of my congregation, here's peace and joy, not of this world. And of course, they asked, and she was able to share the gospel with them. I do not know what is your condition this morning. If you are sick, if you have sick family members at home, if there is not enough money or food or whatever, but God wants to use you. God wants to use your condition to reach your neighbors, to reach the people around you. Sometimes even to reach your own family members. And He wants to give you, through His Spirit that dwells in you, His joy, His peace, and His righteousness. So this is what we learned this morning from the Apostle Paul. He asked us the question, are you still naked, or are you clothed in Christ? For the death of Christ, as we proclaim, make sure we are covered with the blood of Christ. The other thing, yes, we have an earthly tent, but Christ Jesus Himself promised us there is an eternal building in heaven. Your resurrection we announce. By the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we are sure, we are convinced that this is true, and that we are celebrating in the Holy Communion. And the third thing is, we are here because God has a very special purpose to do with our life, that this earthly tent becomes witness. Witness to this world, witness to the people around us, that they may know your coming we await. Jesus Christ is coming back, and He is judging this world. And we are called to prepare and share the gospel. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you are clothing us, that your death has removed all our sins, that your blood covers all our shortcomings. Remind us through your Holy Spirit when we, in parts of our life, still think that you want to clean us. Remind us that when we are about to deviate, that there is nothing to gain, but only you is life to the full. Christ Jesus, thank you that you have given us your Spirit. Make us assured that your resurrection is real, and that you are going to resurrect us with you, that there is hope for eternal life, and that this eternal life starts right here and now in this life. Christ Jesus, we thank you that you have called us to follow you, to be your witnesses here and to the ends of the world. Touch our hearts and our mouths that we really proclaim your word. Guide us in our work, in all our doings, that our life reflects your love, your peace, and your joy.
Thank you that you are here this morning and that you are guiding us. Amen.